focusing on the Dakota Access Pipeline. And there's going to be a national day, no DAPL, no so the Dakota Access Pipeline, no DAPL day of action is Wednesday, November 9th. There are 40 actions going across the United States, including Boulder and Denver. If you'd like to find out more details and information, visit The Medicine is the Message on Facebook, facebook.com, Medicine Nation. It's facebook.com, The Medicine is the Message. And you might want to post that for your friends in other parts of the United States as well. And Naropa is going to be standing with Standing Rock, and it's 4 p.m. Wednesday, November 9th. There'll also be an event down in Denver, in Boulder, meet at 2130 Arapaho. This is KGNU Boulder Denver 88.5 FM and 1390 AM with translator K229 AC in Nederland, Colorado at 93.7 megahertz. Do stay tuned. Cabaret Ray is coming your way now.
And you're listening to KGNU, and this is Cabaret. My name's Andy, and I will be your host for the evening. Tonight we have a special guest, an acoustic performance from Denver. I guess you could say punk rocker, musician, singer, songwriter, Dan Aid. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll get started. Just tell us a little bit about how you got started in, you know, writing music or playing music.
Sure. So I started riding and playing. My dad bought me for Christmas when I was 8 years old a little like quarter-sized, half-sized Montana acoustic guitar, and he had this red spiral-bound notebook where he'd gone when he was a teenager, and he'd, you know, put on old, you know, Bob Dylan records or Phil Oakes, and he'd written out all the lyrics, and then over the top he'd written out the chord changes. So I'd just go through that book and I would just start learning the songs. And whenever I came across a chord I didn't know, I'd ask him, and he'd show me an F or a G or whatever. And then almost immediately I started writing myself. So I don't know if I can remember my first song. It was something about a girl.
Probably. Yeah, aren't they all really? And what's we'll get more into conversation with you, but what's the first song you're going to play tonight?
So I thought I'd start tonight. My band Wire Dogs has been writing and starting to record our next album out in L.A., so I'm going to play you a song called Miles in the Mirror.
Awesome. Dan Aid here on Cabaret KGNU.
She steps out into the wind. She holds her hand up, swings her heels out over the fray. No one will remember her name. And she says she wants to disappear. Broken hearts. She's done with this young love that shoves her apart. She wants numb kisses that don't mean a. And if these mixtapes are records of youth in a rut, then she's stuck. And she says she wants to disappear. chance to drown. Just stay down long enough. Her heart screams and pounds. Open lips, breathe deep and slip down.
Awesome song.
Thanks, man.
That will be on the new album when you get it done?
Yeah. So Mark, the bass player, and I, we both live in Denver. We flew out to L.A. I think 2-3 weeks ago now and spent a long weekend out there. Our drummer, Stefan, has a studio out there and started tracking. And we started working on that one, another song called Mistakes. And,
so is that a Wire Dog song or?
That's a Wire Dog song.
Okay. Okay. So both Wire Dog and Authority Zero are both L.A. Denver.
Yeah, both the drummers live in L.A. and I'm the guitar player. So both guitar players live in Denver. My split personality, and then and the rest of the Authority team lives in Tempe, Arizona, and yeah.
Of course. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah,
everybody cool. Everywhere. It makes it so much easier.
That's interesting. Rehearsals must be fun.
Yeah.
Set up little FaceTime. You're FaceTime each other.
Sometimes. I mean, when we're working on songs, it's a lot of, like, I'll record a little video of myself with doing a part, and then I'll send that to, you know, somebody, and then they'll give me feedback on it. That's a lot of Dropbox files, a lot of little phone videos.
Do you guys... all collaborate, or you write the songs for the most part, right?
In Wire Dogs, I write the songs for the most part, and then bring them to the group, and then they give me feedback. But it depends. Like our last record, Kill the Artist, Type the Trash, we wrote a lot of those songs together, and it was much more collaborative than anything we'd done before, and I think you hear that in the album too. There's a lot of different influences in there. There's Queens of the Stone Age. There's Rage Against the Machine. There's a lot more drum and bass heavy, sort of more groove-oriented things on that record. I was listening to a lot of the Bronx, so I scream a lot on that record.
I want to get back. First, let me tell everybody, we're listening to Dan Aid here on KGNU's Cabaret, the Tuesday night 7 to 8 p.m. live in-studio conversation show. And with a little music thrown in, I want to switch it back to go back to sort of the growing up story. So you got your first guitar. When did you start listening to punk, and how did that, you know, how did that make its way into your psyche?
Oh man, I started listening to punk in middle school. I think is when I discovered Green Day's Insomniac album, like we were chatting about a little bit before we got started here, and that for me was the record. I put it on, I picked up my guitar, and I started playing along, and I could find the chords. And when I did the down strumming, it kind of sounded like the down strumming that Billy was doing, and so that was encouraging. Pop music that I could play. When I put on Rage Against the Machine, when I put on Bad Religion, it didn't sound the same when I played it. And that was discouraging because I loved the music. So it was cool to find something that I loved that I could also play.
So who turned you on to it? Like, you started listening in middle school. Did you go from Bad Religion to Green Day? Or did you go, Green Day is pretty cool. And then all of a sudden the world opened up.
It started with Green Day. It started with Green Day and NOFX. And I had a group of friends, Sam Dreskin, Cooper Pond, Praveen Grant, and they were in a band called the Emmets in middle school. And they were the only band, but they were in a punk rock band. And they would show me records, or I would look at the CDs they had. Everybody had those CD wallets back then. That was the cool thing. If you had like the one that held, you know, four on a page, that was super, super cool. And so I would memorize these album covers from looking at these CD wallets. And I would go to Tower Records or go to Sam Goody or go to Twist and Shout. And I would just look through, because I used to have like the rock punk section. And I would be like, oh yeah, I remember that one. So I'm going to buy that record. And that was how I discovered a ton of things. And those were the first guys I ever played music with too.
What are they doing now?
Sam's a visual artist. I ran into him at the Underground Music Showcase a couple years ago. He had a tent and he was selling prints of his stuff. Still doing, back then he was an amazing artist. He's still doing cool stuff. I don't know what Cooper and Praveen are up to.
Well, I'm sure you'll hear now. So right now you're in two bands, right?
Correct.
Authority Zero and Wire Dogs. You're writing music for both.
Yeah.
Recording album one after the other, it sounds like.
Same time, basically. Same time. And I do solo acoustic stuff.
Yeah, so how did you get into doing this acoustic? That's kind of different.
You know, I started on acoustic guitar and very quickly moved into the electric realm, because everything I was listening to was done on electric guitar. So, of course, that's what I had to do. But I know the moment when I got back into acoustic. And my buddy Mark had an extra ticket to go see Ryan Adams. And I had never listened to Ryan Adams. And he'd asked this girl to go with him, and she couldn't. She bailed on him. And then he asked another girl who was going to, like, drive down from Wyoming, and she got stuck in a snowstorm. And, like, last minute, he was like, hey, I bought these, like, really expensive tickets to go see Ryan Adams at the Buell. You want to go? And I was like, go see a show at the Buell. Great. Like, I'm going to sit in a chair and be bored. And like, what kind of thing is he? Oh, singer-songwriter. Like, this is going to be terrible. I've seen 100 guys with guitars. Like, just, yeah, it wasn't my thing. At least in my head, it wasn't my thing. And we got there, and I was still, like, giving him crap for it, like, all the way up until the music started. And then Ryan started playing. And I realized, like, holy, he was amazing. It was just him and a guitar, and he had a piano on stage. Everything from the songwriting, the lyric content, how he played guitar, his stage banter, how honestly funny he was, how much of a nerd he allowed himself to be, and the ways he exposed himself to the audience. You know, I've been putting on punk rock shows for a long time now, and so I feel like I know how to do that. And here was a guy doing something that I saw as being equally valid, equally cool, and I had no idea how to do it. And I remember after that, I went and I bought this guitar, this Martin, because I wanted to work on doing that. I started learning his songs on that same Montana, actually. Before I bought this, I went home, because I was the only acoustic I had on that tiny little, still had the same strings on it from when I was 8 years old. And I started learning Ryan Adams songs. And I realized there was so much I didn't know how to do. Like the way he finger picked things, which of course I can't do, but I started to figure out ways to like hold a string, like a drone note, and then do the rest of the finger picked pattern. And I was enjoying it so much, and it was just beautiful. It's beautiful music.
Was this 4 years ago? Do you remember?
Oh man, that sounds about right.
Because he was here in Boulder right before the election for a show at the Boulder.
Okay,
Theater.
It was before that, because okay. He announced that show, and day of, I was like scrambling. And if you volunteered in Boulder for the campaign, you could get free tickets.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a great show.
So oh, you got to go to
it? I got to go. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a bootleg of a show he did at Sous Théâtre in Denver. And it's my favorite record of his. It's like 26 tracks. And again, it's the way I first heard him, which is just him and guitar. And I think that's the way I always now want to hear him. So when I play his records, like it's like, it's good, but it's not
just
perfect.
Him,
or I saw him at Red Rocks with a full band, and it was amazing doing more rock and roll style. And I always just want to hear him like soft.
That's cool. That I was just thinking in my head is like, okay, we got you here, you know, punk rock bands and everything, and we're spending 15 minutes talking about Ryan Adams. Yeah. It's like you never know where these interviews are going to go. What's the next song you're going to play for us? The next two songs, actually.
This song is called Anxiety. And, yeah, speaking of Ryan Adams, like, this is that direction.
I'm showing my scars, but hiding in doubt, avoiding your eyes, and slowly passing out. We'll hum these tunes till we rot and we rust. We'll cross our fingers and toes till we know it all. This anxiety is unbearable. I'm seven different people, seven different hearts, and they all just wanna love you but don't know where to start. It takes two to hang these pictures, but only one to this anxiety is unbearable. I hope it lasts forever.
Listening to Dan Aid here on the Cabaret on KGNU. My name is Andy. I'm your host. And we're going to do one more song before we get back into talking.
Cool. And this is another song that I recorded for my solo record this past year with Andrew Berlin up at the Mountain House. And it's called Pretty Good Heart.
Got a pretty sharp mind, can't seem to find out what I want. And I got plenty of memories that keep me company in the dark. I got a pretty good heart. Got a pretty good heart. Last night I saw you laughing and dancing in the rain. There were turquoise walls, rocking chairs, and two gilt frames. When we looked back at each other, like strangers that were falling apart. And I remembered my heart. I remembered my heart. I The nights I sit and stay and memorize the rain. And these cars passing by, flashing at 16 frames. We're like two bus stop strangers sitting just a little apart. I got a pretty good heart.
You're listening to Dan Aid here live in the cabaret on KGNU. I wanted to, as you were singing and playing, I wanted to ask you, do you write differently? Like, I know with the band you're going to add stuff and everything, but yeah. But I'm talking about like almost like psychologically or psychically. Are you in a different place when you're writing for the bands and you're writing solo stuff? Because the acoustic stuff is really different.
Yeah. Yes. This year has been crazy. I have been trying to make my solo album. In the middle of that, I got an offer to audition for a band called The Bunny Gang, which is Nathan Maxwell from Flogging Molly's side project, and got that gig. And that's all like two-tone reggae, that world, but with a lot of weird, intricate guitar work. The guy Nat, who was the guitar player before me, is this amazing guitar player, and he'd written all these super cool parts. And so I had that world going on. I still had Wire Dogs going on. And then I got an offer to go on tour in Japan with Authority Zero. And so I started learning that stuff, which was this super fast punk rock, way faster than like the Wire Dog stuff. Wire Dog stuff is more like Against Me inspired, Rancid inspired, Green Day stuff. Authority Zero is so fast when it goes that direction, and it's very technically shreddy. And I'm not like a lead guitar player, so I'm having to learn like sound out lead parts note by note that are part of like these like woo 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 like things, and because I don't know my scales. Because I don't do my homework well, apparently. I have a degree in music business. I've taken music theory, and I don't know, like, a major scale. Like, I would mess it up if I tried to play it for you right now. So, all of that was in my mind this year, and it really messed with me for a while with my writing, because I wanted to be writing for all of it, and I would sit down and just panic. So I had to be get very deliberate with myself and prioritize and be like, you know what? What's the next project you're doing? So in between Authority Zero tours, right after we got back from Europe, I had 2 weeks. And between the U.S. and the Europe tours, I had like 12 days. And I was like, I'm writing the new Wire Dogs record. So every morning I woke up, I went to a coffee shop. I was there by 10. I wrote lyrics for 2 or 3 hours, came home, put music to it, and I think I wrote like 12 songs in 12 days.
That kind of regimentation works for you? I mean, apparently it did, but was it a new experience to have to do that?
It was sort of new. One of the first producers I ever worked with, this guy Tim Buckman, right when I moved to New York right out of high school. I grew up acting and doing music, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go the acting route. So went to NYU, went to Tisch, got in a studio, and hated it. And I moved back, and this guy, Tim Buckman, was the only person I still felt like I knew who was doing music. And so he agreed to produce this record for this band that I had called White Leather, which is when I wanted to be Guns N' Roses at 19. And I brought him 4 songs, and he was like, great, bring me 4 more next week. And that was the first time someone had like given me homework for songwriting. But I did it, and that taught me a really important lesson, like it's work. The idea of waiting to find inspiration does work. And I do think it's important to take breaks because you can burn yourself out and you can spend your time, you know, you give yourself the challenge to write a song every day for a month. And a lot of it's going to be crap. And even the stuff that is good sometimes loses a little bit because you're tired and you can feel that. So far, I think I've learned in short bursts with a goal in mind, that's where I work really well.
It's it's always interesting to talk to musicians and hear what their process is. And for me anyway, as a non-musician,
sure.
I do photography, but that's a whole different inspiration and stuff. So what's next? I mean, your guys are going to be, Authority Zero is writing or you're recording a new album, right? Is that what's coming up?
Yes. So the band last put out an album, I think 3.5 years ago, which is way before. I've only been with the band about since March. So I was just out in Arizona all last week. We spent 4 days in a studio out there demoing out songs that we'd been sharing with each other via Dropbox for the past few months and working on while we were on tour and stuff. And but we sat down in that room for 4 days in a row and we figured out, we put together 16 songs, which felt like really good work. And it really worked well because we'd never done that before. And you get four different musicians in a room together for the first time, it can go sideways pretty quickly. And man, I loved it. It was so much fun writing with people who had the same sort of vision. Even if we disagreed on a part, we all sort of knew where the song needed to go. So if we want a moment to be weird, we know what is sort of going to work. And we're all thinking about it the same way. Or if we need it to go to a reggae breakdown, we all know what that would look like. Or if we need to throw in a solo section, we know how to do that. And everyone was, you know, wanted to write good intros, make sure the songs ended strong, didn't have any throwaway parts, and I loved that. And all the guys are flying out here, actually, and we're going to be in Fort Collins at the Blasting Room working with Bill Stevenson and Andrew Berlin and Jason Livermore, and I'm so excited. I've worked up there with Andrew Berlin before, and I've worked with Livermore. He mixed and mastered the first Wire Dogs record, but I've never tracked with Livermore. I've never tracked with Bill, and I'm nervous and very excited.
It should be exciting. It should be great.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the songwriting question or that part. What, growing up in Denver, being part of the scene since you were 15, playing music out since you were 15, I think, right? It's you said you went through the Guns N' Roses stage, mm-hmm. the glam rock stage sort of, or the 90s version of glam rock. What was it that turned you on about punk? Was it just the music? Was it the ethos? Was it like who you were inside? Did you find your tribe kind of thing?
Punk rock spoke to me immediately. I mean, for so many people, it's the same stories. I watch interviews with my heroes in this genre, and it's the energy, it's the inclusiveness of it. And I started going to punk rock shows and playing shows almost immediately. Before I ever had a band, I would take my little solid state Marshall amp head and this PV speaker. I bought the head, and I didn't know when you bought a head that it didn't have a speaker in it. So I brought this Marshall head home, and I plugged it into the wall, and I plugged my guitar in, and no sound came out. I like freaked out. I'm like, it's broken. Take it back. And so I called up the store, and they're like, well, yeah, you need a speaker. Like the sound comes through the speaker. I remember them. I think they were nice about it. But I used to go and open up shows for my friends that had bands. I would just play my songs by myself and rock out, and then I'd go to shows, and that whole experience for me, I remember not wanting to take a breath, not wanting to blink, not wanting to miss anything. I mean, watching John Feldman run out on stage, grab the mic off the stand, and stage dive as Goldfinger goes into their first move, and I'm standing in the back of the Ogden. Like, I'll never forget that. Like, this body flying through the air. as this, as they launch into a song, and watching Rancid, I mean, watching Rancid taught me how to put on punk shows. Listening to Rancid records, I learned how to write punk songs, like, and meeting Tim and Lars when I was like 14 or 15, and how human they were with me, and how sweet they were with me, how much time they took with me, you know, to have your heroes do that for you was so important to me, and I'd never gotten that anywhere else in life. And to this day, the people I meet through punk rock are the best people I meet anywhere.
Yeah, I have to agree. The I'm listening to and you're reeling off Goldfinger, Rancid, and I was thinking back to when I first got into punk rock, and I was same kind of thing with Fear and the Toy Dolls, and you know, the Mutants, and it's so, it's
because you were West Coast,
because I was West Coast, yeah, San Francisco and LA, so it was just it was, I totally understand. I understand what you're feeling, but I also, it's just funny hearing the different bands, right? Because I was, you know, 35 when Rancid came out. It's like, okay, you know, they didn't have the same effect on me that they did on your generation, obviously.
Well, and trying to, and then as a punk rock historian and enthusiast of the genre, trying to go back and understand the different quote unquote revolutions that have happened around all these different bands over the years, and you know, I didn't understand a lot of it for so long. I didn't like the Ramones forever. I didn't understand the Clash. My dad got me Combat Rock and 13 Songs, Clash and Fugazi, for Christmas when I was 12. And I put on those records, and I was like, these records are horrible, because I didn't get it. I'd never heard anything like either of those records. You know, I liked Green Day and NoFX. I liked Punk and Drublic, and, you know, and anyway, so 27, I'm just learning how to appreciate Fugazi, which is awesome, but I'm so late. It's like me with so many bands, like, I don't know, Tribe Called Quest. My buddy Mark has been telling me to listen to Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys. You know, people are like, that's one of the top 50 records of all time. Didn't get it. Put it on like a year ago, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's amazing. Like, I get it. So
it
as
happens
I,
like that.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, yeah. Like, I have to grow. I have to change. People create these brilliant things, but sometimes you don't understand it because you don't have a frame of reference for it. You haven't lived enough life to get what they were doing.
Yep. Let's play some more music.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, sort of. What are you going to play?
Let's do a song called The Last Stronghold, which is... often the second Wire Dogs record, and called The Basement Tapes.
You're listening to Dan Aid here on Cabaret.
Dan Aid, tune his guitar
on KGNU.
Jubilant fighters fire weapons in the air. The bombastic autocrat lies dead on stairs as car horns punctuate like flares rising over Tripoli. Amidst fears of fragmentation, amidst brutality came retaliation, fighting fiercely for the freedom of a nation. They are rising over Tripoli, rising over Tripoli. But 10 men stand alone, their arms crossed. As 10 bodies are removed from a school bus, their souls now will float up with the dust, rising over Tripoli, rising over Tripoli. Whoa. ten men stand the line, their arms crossed. As ten bodies are removed from a school bus, their souls now will float up with the dust, rising over Tripoli.
Dan Aid here in the cabaret. What's the next one you're going to do? One more, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Another song.
Another song.
Oh, my God. We were talking about Ryan Adams earlier.
We were.
I'm going to bring it back a little bit that direction.
So while you're tuning, I was looking up just real quick because one of the few Green Day songs that I know and like, my kids really were into Misery.
Okay.
That song. Do you know that song by them?
Yeah.
It sort of sounds like a Tom Waits, something like they decided to sound like Tom Waits doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't remember the name of it, and I was thinking, checking to see if it was on the album that you mentioned, but it's not. Just an aside. I'm probably boring the listeners now.
Gotcha. First of April woke to see an old portrait on your table. No rose in your garden, just an old leather Bible. Pardon me, but I see 26 years of wrinkled sheets in 26 years. Restless. You were a voice in the shower, you were love at a glance, and you were sad and sweet and sour, you were love at a glance, and you were a voice in the shower, you were love at. Sweet and sour. where she hides. But these headaches are chronic as we lay awake and we break into. And I was wondering if you even loved me. Was wondering if you loved you.
Sweet.
Thanks, brother.
You're listening to Dan Aid here on The Cabaret, KGNU's live in-studio interview and music show every Tuesday from 7 to 8. But next week will be preempted for the election night coverage. So thank God that's getting over, huh?
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot. And we don't have cable or anything like that, so we were at a bar the other night watching the baseball game, and it was amazing how many commercials there were. Just inundated.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching it for a long time. I've been watching it back since when I had a desk job. Oh my God. No, I would listen, I remember listening back to all five of the Republican debates and listening to the Democrat debates while I was sitting at my desk.
All right, we'll move on. We don't need to talk about that. I didn't mean to talk about that.
We can get in there.
No, it's okay.
Let's just go vote.
That's the important thing.
Yeah, participate.
So you've been on the road a lot this year. You said you've been in Europe twice.
Europe once. When all this sort of started, the first thing I did was the Flogging Molly cruise. And I played with Bunny Gang. And then that was the first time I played with Authority Zero, too. And I was on the boat. And then right after that, Bunny Gang did a tour. We drove down to Key West, and then we drove back up and did like six or seven shows up to Savannah, Georgia. And then we flew out of there. And then 2 weeks later, I left for Japan, and we were there for, I think, 12 days and played seven shows with this band, Hey Smith, this ska punk band that's absolutely amazing. And I think we're trying to figure out getting them out here in like February, March. Nothing confirmed yet, but rumors of, you know, trying to talking with them and talking with Save Ferris about going and doing a tour. So that was then Japan. Then we did U.S. and Canada for 3.5 weeks. Then we did Europe for 6.5 weeks. We did a flyout date for Music for Cancer in Montreal a few weeks back. Just had a big Halloween show in Tempe at the Marquee out there. And just announced we're doing New Year's out in Arizona with Face to Face and Strung Out.
Oh, very cool. So with all the touring and the name recognition, I wanted to ask you about what it's sort of the business side of it. And talk about like what bands, you know, you're touring, you're obviously making money, you're able to do this as a job or other, right? Or because you could keep a job.
Yeah, I mean, this is, well, I got enough work through this where I had to quit my desk job.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm not on tour, I'm still figuring that out. Like, I started teaching guitar lessons and starting to drive for Uber next week, and just submitted a job application at Illegal Pete's to sling burritos. I don't know. Like, I don't quite know how it works yet, but I'm so happy. Like, when I think about if I hadn't taken these risks, if I hadn't made this decision to go after these things that were in front of me, and I could have still been at my day job thinking, you know, what would it have been like to do that? I'm so happy with how this year's gone, and there's been a lot of ups and downs, and it's been really hard at times, really hard. The reality of touring, traveling that much, doing all that, you know, you see amazing places and people, but I'm still learning how to do that, and that's a big transition. So
it is. And what do you there's a sort of a duality between living that life and then sort of what society tells you should, you know, the shoulds in life, right? get married, have kids, have a job, make money, blah, 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 blah. What's that? Have you felt that yet, or are you not really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pressures I've put on myself my whole life, you know, wanting to go to a good school, wanting to, you know, like I did well in school and I did all that. I got a degree and went that path. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think you do learn things that way. I think taking, like, one of the things I'm learning this year is there isn't a roadmap. I talk to as many musicians as I can and I try to figure out how are you doing it. And it's very, very rare that someone is just doing music. Like, you know, my buddy in Flogging Molly, like, he does other work too. And they're a big band who do huge shows all over the world, you know? So, you know, I think there's a big reality check when you come into it. And the thing that pretty much everyone consistently, whether they tell me directly or just sort of imply it through the stories they tell me, is that they would have never made another decision, or if they could have gotten out, they would have taken it. I mean, some people want to get out and they get out, like they have a kid and that's, and they want to spend more time with them, or they do it for long enough and they want to go, you know, Milo also wants to have his PhD and go be a scientist. Like, that's awesome.
Yep.
And I see that in myself, but right now I'm really enjoying being on the road and I'm getting better at it.
It's good. It's a special time in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you see yourself 5-10 years from now?
Oh man.
Make something up. It's okay.
This year has brought into perspective for me, or is making me look at what I really love about music. Whether that's writing, recording, playing shows, traveling. I'm kind of getting to try at least all the things I always wanted to try. And out of that, I think I'm learning that I like travel and I really like being in a studio. So if I could do anything, it would be to have a studio where I could create, help other people create, and then go on tour with my projects and travel and meet people and have these beautiful little moments that are only brought about when you kind of throw yourself out into the world.
Cool.
So that's what I hope in the next 5 to 10 years. I hope I have a studio. I hope I get to keep doing this. I love it. I love it on the hard days. You know, it's the only thing I've ever done in my life where I want to show up every day for it.
I get it. We're listening to Dan Aid here on The Cabaret on KGNU. And why don't we have time for two more songs with a little break in the middle to say thank you.
Okay.
Do you got that ready? Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I was going over stuff today and I had a game plan and I've already played two songs that were not part of that game plan.
Perfect. That's what we try and do. Take you out of your comfort zone here.
Cool. Yeah, and you'll notice, like, I'm playing a lot of my acoustic stuff, mostly because, like, a lot of the electric stuff, I don't know, it doesn't translate that well. And I don't know if anybody, like, is curious. My acoustic stuff's all up on Bandcamp, and I play around a little bit, and I love it, so.
Oh, yeah, let's talk. Well, before you start, let's actually talk about that. Do you have a website? How do
right
people
now,
find you?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Aid, you know, Bandcamp. .bandcamp.com, you know, Wiredogs has, you know, wiredogsmusic.com, authorityzero.com. You know, those are the places I live. And, you know, the music's up everywhere where you'd buy music, Amazon, Napster, iTunes, Spotify. There's a Wiredogs Pandora station that I really like.
That's cool. And do you have any, I know you're going in the studio, but do you have any shows coming up?
Right now, the New Year's show with Authority Zero out in Tempe.
I think Road Trip is in order.
Right? We'll get a bus. And then Wire Dogs is doing the American Blackout City Release show at the Artery December 17th, I believe. And the solo stuff. I don't know. I was just looking through shows today. I was like, all right, who's coming to Lost Lake? Who's coming to Larimer Lounge? Who's coming to Bluebird that I could open for?
Who would you love to open for, either acoustic or with one of the bands?
Oh, man.
Or have open for you?
Well, I mean, acoustic, you know, Ryan Adams or Tallest Man on Earth, that'd be, both those would be awesome. And then as far as the bands go, you know, I've always wanted to tour with Rancid. I've always wanted to tour with Green Day. We were talking about the Interrupters. Mm-hmm. We were in Europe with the Interrupters, I believe, when they got the email from Green Day that, like, their agent, that they had asked for them to go do this European run that they're about to do with them.
Wow.
And they were just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I have a something on that Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, against me, I don't know. I could go on and on. The bands that I would still love to meet and play with.
Yeah. Against Me is interesting. I had a big argument with our old music director here about Against Me because I saw them at Riot Fest.
Okay.
And I had never really heard their story before, heard of them. So I would just sing them as a band.
Yeah.
And there's all these, like, you know, punk rockers in their leather jackets and tats and hair and everything. And I was thinking, I didn't get it at all. So I wrote something, you know, and they were, you know, they're all black and white outfits and they're all put together and everything. Uh-huh. And, you know, for an old guy like me, that's kind of like, what the hell's going on? Sure. But I got schooled. So
yeah, Against Me has major street cred. They've definitely, you know, I think Laura has really enjoyed exploring a lot of different venues. Over the past couple of years, I've just seen her try out a lot of different stuff, and I think that's really cool. And I don't know, like, I have so much love and respect for the old school guys. Like, we played with Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine in Slovenia, and ended up, like, it was like pitch black because it's out in the woods. And I'm, you know, it's after the show one night, and I've had a few drinks, and, like, this guy walks up and he's like talking to me, and it takes me about 2 minutes because it's like pitch black before I'm like, that's Jello Biafra. Like, I'm kind of like doing one of those. And I love what he does. I love how he does it. I love, you know, Ian MacKaye and everything that he's done. And I also love Green Day and what they've done. And I love Against Me and what they're exploring. And I love Anti-Flag and the different ways that they've brought their socially forward movement into the music, into the scene. I think that's bold and brave, and I really appreciate it. And
it is, and nothing can stay stagnant forever. I mean, it can't all be thrash. It can't all be, you know, 30 years of thrash drive anybody bananas.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting as I've learned about some of the new bands to hear their stories. Like Against Me, for example, you know, visually wasn't to me appealing, but when I learned about what their story was, it was, you know,
yeah.
I got it absolutely.
And Against Me, like, I've seen Against Me play shows where they rock out so hard and I'm into the show for that reason, and I've seen them play shows where there's not a lot of energy and you're just kind of listening to the songs. And I love the visual. For me, it's about the energy coming off the stage. So if I catch a band on the non-energetic day, I don't like you very much. But if I catch you on the energetic day, I love you.
Yep.
And so I've seen Against Me do both those shows.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we have time for one more song. I want to thank George and the crew for the great productions, as always. My name is Andy. I've been your host tonight. Stay tuned for Corriente. And next week again, we're all preempted for the elections. Thanks, Dan, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This
has
been great.
And just play as long as you want.
Cool. I can see from here you seem so alone, my dear. So why don't you come sit by me? Share words with me now. Share with me about why you are where you are. A pretty face but tired eyes, a brilliantly contrived disguise, but I noticed how your hands always shake and move to
to strange music. I think I like your tune, but I'm wondering if it's come too soon. Oh, but are we just passing by? See from here, you seem so alone, my dear. So why don't you come sit by me? Share words with me now. Share with me about why you are where you, where you, where you. Oh, but are we just passing by?
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the 14th annual Moab Folk Festival, with support from the Utah Office of Tourism, taking place November 4th through 6th in Moab, Utah, providing a beer and wine garden and workshops. This year's lineup featuring James McMurtry, along with Rising Appalachia, John Fulbright, Jeffrey Folcalt, The Rail Splitters, Ann McHugh, and more. More information at Moab Folk Festival.
Shit, I got new phone. Aye, ladies and gentlemen, señoras y señores, you know what? We seem to have some kind of a really interesting major breakdown. Da-da. So instead of what we were planning, let's hit this and we'll be right back.
Y ahí le va mi compa el paisa, Chuyito Rincón, y hasta la purísima te pegó en el rango, compa.
Y para un diablón a mi compa, allá por Chicago, Illinois. estamos este día donde pues ahí han llegado los espíritus traviesitos. Ajá, este día de las muertas y los muertos, bienvenidos a Corriente. We made it. I'm Leito, el loco del barrio Pocho, requete muy, pero muy agradecido al tremendo George Figgs que ha llegado here and he straightened it all out. Me siento requete suertudo to be with you at this special time when our ancestors join us for a night of music, song, and dance. All of the music tonight will be by dead people, for dead people, or about death itself. But el día de la de muertas y muertos is not Halloween. The day of the dead is when we welcome our beloved ancestral spirits and accept death as the natural result of being born while celebrating an unbreakable relationship con nuestra madre tierra. Our candy skulls and caramel bones remind us that life is all the more precious for being so sweet and fragile. Here's a few songs about life, death, and dying from a culture where we treat death like a respected and stalwart friend because it's always hanging around.
Vuelve del sueño profundo.